This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Mike Rowe, how are you, man? We've been talking about how much you've been a part of our life since Dirty Jobs and narrating like Deadliest Catch. And I don't know. I think you're everybody's the uncle maybe they needed or never had.
My girlfriend said, you know what? It's like stepping in gum with you.
Yeah.
25 years. Everywhere we go, you're like under a rock or up on a bridge or crawling through a sewer or mouthing off. You're right. I don't know how it happened, but... You know, one day you wake up and you're 25 years in, and there it is.
Hey, my grandma used to call that, son, you're like a hair in a biscuit.
I would have gotten along with your grandma.
Well, look, we grew up in a time where, you know, and we were laughing. I go, listen, nobody in the world can hurt my feelings because I held the drop light for Bill Caprifoli. And once you've done that, you can't. You know, I had to learn. My dad, we didn't want to learn, but we didn't have a choice to at least pick up some kind of skills in this life.
Well, this is the thing, man. We talk about freedom. We talk about wanting to have the right to choose our vocation, and I couldn't agree more. Of course we want that. But when you're a kid and the world is your oyster and you can do anything you want, anything at all, that paralyzes a lot of people. And so they just go from like a frog leaping from lily pads, you know. They don't have any direction. They're not sure what to do. I was lucky, too, when I was a kid. I didn't have a lot of choices. My dad was like, look, you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. And then when you're old enough, you'll figure it out. But, yeah, the skilled trades, you know, they're valuable for so many reasons other than making a living, you know. You can give a kid a pretty good sense of direction who doesn't have one by learning to do something with your hands.
No, a sense of confidence. Yes, you work your way through. What I learned from my dad was it didn't matter if it was the television, the refrigerator, the car. It didn't matter. Sheetrock. He didn't necessarily know exactly how to do it, but through trial and error, he would fix everything in our house. And he did it not because he was a super proud man, but because we simply didn't have the money. I mean, that's just how it was.
Yeah.
If he didn't fix it, you didn't have it.
Hey, man, I say this to friends of mine all the time who got lucky and or just have a bunch of money. You know, when you're raising your kids and you got money, it's very different. You know, like my parents used to say, look, we're not going on vacation because we can't.
Yeah,
we simply can't afford it, period,
right.
Hard stop.
Yeah.
Now it's like, no, we're not going on vacation because we don't feel like it, and we're not going to give you, right? It's like the difference between can't and won't
right. Is
a big deal when you're trying to raise your kids. And, I see that every single day.
Dude, and that's this idea that microworks.org, scholarships for skilled trades, because we've talked about this before. Somewhere along the line, somewhere in the 80s, I think, we told kids that if you worked with your hands, that you were less than, that everybody wanted to work in this cubicle. And it's come home to roost. Every middle management person, if you don't have autonomy in your job, you're simply a facilitator, and you've got your middle management position. You're so easily replaceable by somebody younger who makes a little bit less, or, God forbid, AI. But the guys who have real, have to use their mind, they have to create things, they have to overcome a problem that is not an everyday problem, a skill, that will never be replaced.
Right. Look, we tried to check that box on dirty jobs. I mean, there was a lot of exploding toilets and misadventures and animal husbandry and all that stuff, which was great.
Right, yeah.
But underneath it all, there was usually a man or a woman who was really good at what they did. And, you know, elevating that kind of competence in prime time was important. Today, you know, I would just say that we kind of brought it on ourselves. You know, we took shop class out of high school back in the 70s and 80s. We removed from sight all the visual proof that a young kid would need to at least understand there's many different ways to make a living, right? And then the cost of college went bananas, and now we got $1.7 trillion in debt, and we got 8 million open jobs that don't require a four-year degree, and we're lending all kinds of money we don't have to kids who are never going to be able to pay it back for jobs that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So all that stuff has to get turned around. I got $2.5 million this month at MicroWorks. These are for work ethic scholarships, kids who don't want to go to college but who want to learn a skill that's in demand. You got to fill out an application, but it's not that hard, and the money's there. And if your listeners are into it, they're officially invited to go get some.
And it's MikeRowe.com. .org.
It's
MicroWorks.org.
MicroWorks.org. But you'll get there no matter what you type in. You know, the AI is out there. It's pretty smart.
But the thing was, we were told that we were going to work way too hard, and everybody wanted to work less hard, right? Like, that was the promise. And what nobody tells a kid is you will have the longest day of your life, the longest week of your life in a job that's just a mindless, just moving this piece of file to that piece of file. You never see what you built. Man, when I was building homes before radio, before being a paramedic, before all that, when I got to, I was doing roughing, it was hot and it was dirty and it didn't pay a lot in the beginning. But what I did get was the sense of accomplishment the second I looked back every day. I'd look back at that frame and I go, that's what I did. When I was hot tar roofing, that's what I did. At least I knew I did something. And that would pass the time. The idea of just mindlessly working every day in the cubicle with the fluorescent light, Jesus Christ, I'd kill myself.
Yeah. No, it's a really important point. You know, people ask me all the time, what do these dirty jobbers know as a group, you know, that the rest of us have forgotten? And part of the answer is exactly that. They always know how they're doing. They don't need somebody saying, you know, this versus that. All they have to do is look at the roof that they're hot tarring, and they can see what kind of progress they're making. You get constant feedback. And that's important.
Yeah.
You know, to your point, my desk at 6 a.m. looks pretty much the same as it does at 6 p.m. I don't have any visual proof, you know, when I'm done. It's not like that in the trades. It's not like that with dirty jobs. You always know how you're doing.
Yeah.
Plus, job leads on to job, Johnny.
That's,
you know,
right.
And people can climb the ladder a whole lot faster in that skilled world than they can working in a high rise.
Yeah, everybody works together as a team, all the trades, whether or not they fight with each other. We've all been on a job site, right? But in the end, if you know that guy does a great job, you're telling people that guy does a great job. When he makes your job easier and you get to get into your position, it doesn't matter. Everybody has to work together to build that building, to put that road down, to get through whatever project they're working on. And it is absolutely as important as a doctor.
Again, you're just spot on. The skills gap is real. There are 8 million jobs out there that need to be filled. Hopping on shows like yours and just talking about potential solutions is a big part of the problem. So I really appreciate it, man.
Nice.
And I'm serious. There's $2.5 million over there. It's literally sitting there earmarked for these jobs. Go get some.
All right, brother. Listen, you're welcome here anytime. I know you're going show to show, but you're always welcome here.
I sure appreciate it, Johnny.